Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Rebecca. You know, this podcast today, I feel, is going to be a little different because we've never had the kind of group that we have today on a show.
Yeah, Mona. Today we have the American Immigrant Investor Alliance, who we'll hear from a bit. But before we dive into that, Mona, you know, as you said, we like to keep our listeners updated, and we want to talk about this new reconciliation bill that came in.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. For all of our viewers who are like, again, another bill? Yes, folks. There's so many, we can't keep up with it ourselves. But this particular bill has been really gaining international traction. We've heard about it overseas. Many foreign investors are excited because it seems like this really might be a bill that will go through, because it's not really a bill. It's an amendment to the Immigration and Nationality Act, which was introduced by Jerry Nadler.
Yeah, so it's hot and new that we're introducing this. I wanted to bring one of the titles out from one of the newspapers that we're reading, which we'll go into more detail, but it says, Indians can now get green cards by paying a super fee. So I'm going to explain what this super fee means.
I know. The super fee and green cards, it's like it gives the wrong impression. It's not really it's a super fee in the sense that the bill is proposing that EB5 investors who have a priority date of more than 2 years, they can kind of, I won't say jump the line, but they be able to move forward and get conditional resident status if their petitions can be approved by paying an additional fee. And it's not that high. It's what, $50,000, I think, is in the proposition.
And yeah, for EB5 investors.
Yeah. But the big deal about this, Rebecca, is that there's no numerical limits on the number of applicants who can do this.
Yeah, which I find interesting because, I mean, from what I'm seeing, that they're not increasing the quota for the country caps or any of that. So,
And we've been arguing about changing the country quota for so long, and Congress is so long overdue for policy changes. But whether this actually gets through, you know, the cynicism does come in.
Maybe this is the federal government's way of monetizing all the interest in mandamus. They're like, wait a minute, we want some of that mandamus money. How about you pay us to do our job?
Well, I just want to make clear that it's not just only for EB5 investors. It's for any applicant who has a petition pending and has a priority date over 2 years. So for those who are H-1B holders, it works for you as well. But at only $5,000, you have to pay.
Yeah. But Rebecca, here's the issue. I know we're all dying to hear from Ishan and Rajveer, but here's the issue. Everything right now has been pending, almost everything has been pending over 2 years because of all the delays with COVID and the furloughs. Yep. So it's just going to be too much. Will USCIS even be able to handle it?
I completely agree with you. I'm dying to see how this is going to work, especially for the H-1B holders. I mean, the backlog tremendous, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how this works.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll keep you up to date.
Of course, Mona, we always do. Now let's get to our guests that have been patiently waiting. Today on the show, we welcome Ishan Khanna and Rajveer Batra. Ishan invested in the EB-5 program in 2016, started working in the industry in 2018, and is now the director of the American Immigrant Investor Alliance. Rajveer serves as their policy director, focusing on legislative priorities and the alliance's congressional outreach. What is the American Immigrant Investor Alliance, you ask? Well, AIIA is a by investors for investors organization which seeks to bring a new voice to the discourse on the EB-5 program. And there's been some confusion on the focus of that voice in various sectors of the EB-5 program. Not surprising, since many have their own unique focus. So we brought them on today's show to really get a feel for what they stand for, who they help, and perhaps more importantly, if they can help you.
Ishan, Rajveer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us here.
So, American Immigrant Investor Alliance, that's really a mouthful. Who came up with that name?
That's a good question. We were just sort of kicking that around back and forth. We wanted to call ourselves the Immigrant Investor Alliance, but then we figured we should also make a distinction. I mean, there's immigrant investors from all over the world. There's different immigration by investment programs. But I think we are the first immigrant investor body for any country that has actually been created that stands to represent this class of immigrants.
Well, that's true, actually. I mean, we've been doing this for many, many years, and this really is the first time. And it's not what I would say it should have been. It's long overdue. It should have been around a long time ago. But let me ask, Rajveer, you and Ishan, you both are Indian natives. Are you just representing Indian immigrants? Who do you represent?
So we have a board of directors, and there are four people on the board of directors. So Ishan and I are from India. But we have a Canadian on the board and we have an Australian citizen on board. So the motive of AIIA is to represent all EB-5 immigrant investors, existing or future, from all countries around the world.
But Rajveer, the by far the largest amount of investors come from China and Korea. Do you have any representatives from those countries?
Yes, we do. So we do have investors. We have a large investor body from China, actually, and they're constantly giving us feedback. We're actually considering adding a Chinese investor to our board soon. We've also received a ton of help from a Chinese wealth management group that has EB-5 investors of their own, and they've been extremely supportive with getting our message across the border. We've also had some of our volunteers upload our webinars and our content onto local video sites like Bilibili. We've done meetings on Voom Meeting, which is a form of Zoom over there. And we've done major outreach in China. And it's safe to say that we do represent a decent chunk of the Chinese EB-5 audience. We want to continue to advocate for them. I think, you know, we think that class of immigrant has definitely been very negatively affected by EB-5. Yeah. And we want to represent them.
Yeah, no, we totally agree. And quite honestly, we've been talking to quite a few people that we had worked with years ago in China who have actually mentioned you on their blogs. So tell us a little bit, what is the work that you are prioritizing right now?
So the main goal right now is with the EB-5 Regional Center Program Labs. That is the number one concern for every single investor out there that is in the program who does not yet have their conditional green card on hand. Look, we have to sort of address the elephant in the room, which is how do we get into this labs in the first place? And the reason why we got into this labs is because two industry factions could not come to an agreement as to what the future of the program would look like.
Yeah, true.
This battle between industry factions and Congress members has led to us, this class of immigrant, being affected. We're in a situation now where the U.S. government is not upholding the contract that we entered into with them. And so our current battle is to allow for investors to be essentially decoupled from this fight. Our immigration process should not be stalled because of infighting within the industry or Congress.
So here's the thing, Ishan. I know you represent all investors. However, investors have different goals right now. We do have a lot of investors who are enjoying this direct pooled program, which is not there because of the regional center program. And at the same time, will prioritizing long-term regional center establishment postpone reauthorization? Because bringing it back for 3 months, which is what I've heard they're trying to do, doesn't achieve anything.
I agree with you. A short-term extension does not make sense. But even a long-term extension of any sort, that doesn't matter to us at the end of the day. As investors, our immigration process should not be stalled. What the future of the program looks like, what the investment amount is, what the TA looks like, that's not really an investor's concern.
Right.
The immigrant investor who has made their petition, who has done the investment on good faith, their application should continue to be processed regardless of what the future looks like. So at this point of time, while this debate takes place between what the future of the program could look like, we believe that investors should be treated fairly and their immigration process should not be stopped in the middle of all of this.
How many investors are you working with or representing? How large is your organization?
At this point, we have over 1,000 members in our database.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But that's not that huge either.
That's our goal at this point, is to basically make the database we have as big as possible so we can represent all these investors. And we have a very comprehensive database. So our database includes where investors invested, their priority dates, where they're from, all of that stuff, which I think is essential for us to represent them. So for example, we have conversations with members of Congress, their staffers. We usually bring someone from their district on to that call because we think that makes a big impact on the perception of the EB-5 program.
Could you give us a recent example of someone that you've brought into that type of discussion?
Ishan, do you want to give the example of our call with Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania?
Sure. So we had a call with Senator Patrick Toomey. The call went really well. I think what made the most amount of impact was the fact that we brought a doctor who lived and works in the state of Pennsylvania. And he is a gastroenterologist, him and his wife, and they both are COVID frontline doctors. They provide a great resource to the community. They've been working long hours ever since COVID started, nonstop. And we think highlighting immigrant investors like him and his wife, who have given so much to this country, who've been stuck in the green card backlog for so long, and have on top of that contributed $500,000 to bringing in jobs and money at zero cost to the American taxpayer. We believe immigrant investors like those do deserve to be treated fairly.
I totally agree. I mean, we have discussed this so many times that EB-5 should be in a different category altogether because we don't bring any burden to the taxpayer. Rather, as in the collective we, it is a program which really has just a win-win all the way around. But let me ask, how do you guys finance yourself? I mean, if some of our listeners think, oh, wow, I really want to join this, but what's the catch?
So we are mostly all funded by EB-5 investor donations, and we are totally a grassroots effort. We have had some donations come in from industry members, which is fantastic to see, including various immigration attorneys who believe in our mission. And our long-term goals align with a lot of what investors want and what some attorneys want as well. So that's if investors want to get involved with us, a great way is to check out our website, donate to us. We have a take action link on our website, which folks can click on and see all the instructions from there. And we hope to eventually offer a membership program where we're able to give valuable resources, information to our immigrant investors.
All right. Well, Ishan Rajveer, we want to talk about advocacy with you guys. But before I do, I have a question for you both. Once reauthorization happens, I'm saying once because we all know it will, and we get our long-term regional center program reauthorization, what are your goals then for the investor? Why would an investor stick with you guys?
Well, I firstly want to address the fact that we do not necessarily care for long-term reauthorization of the regional center program. I want to make that very clear. We've received some criticism that our goal of simply grandfathering investors may derail the efforts of regional center program reform, but we don't see that as our main objective. Our main objective is to take care of existing investors in line. That is the number one priority. So if we do get a new regional center program and it continues, or if our existing investors are grandfathered in, regardless of those two outcomes, we will continue to advocate for EB-5 investors in line. So that includes giving them the right information, say, for example, filing a mandamus request and things like that.
Well, but what is the right information? I mean, I really will come out here and say that some of the advice that people are giving out is controversial.
Is there an example of that advice, Mona?
Well, like mandamus, not every project or not every person is a good choice for mandamus. It's not a blanket solution.
True. Yeah, we've covered that.
Yeah. It's not a blanket solution. So when you say, oh, well, I haven't got it yet, file a mandamus. No, you have to look carefully at different factors.
I absolutely agree with you. The kind of information we're talking about is more of just making people aware of what options they have. Many investors don't even know that mandamus, suing the US government, is an option. Many immigrants are also afraid to go to court. A lot of us, as you may know, come from third world countries where the rule of law isn't necessarily respected. I think it's important to tell investors that America is the number one litigious country in the world, that suing the government makes sense if they don't uphold the contract with you. So even if we're able to just show investors that, hey, filing a mandamus doesn't necessarily affect the approval of your I-526, just educating them on basic things like that, I feel is important. at least the important thing is that we want to give investors the tools and the information and then let them make a decision for themselves.
So again, I don't think you really answered the question, though. Why do you not want long-term reauthorization? Just because you don't want to be there in the long haul?
Mona, let me be clear. We 100% support reauthorization, long-term reauthorization, or a permanent reauthorization of the EB-5 program. We, all of us immigrant investors, benefit from this program. What we actually mean by that is we do not want to get involved in the fight between the different industry factions on DEAs, long-term reauthorization, all of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Our focus is only grandfathering. We believe that the industry can take care of themselves. They have their own resources, they have their own goals, and it makes sense. But for us, we do not want to focus on the politics between different industry factions. Our one goal during these negotiations is to protect existing investors. If we can get a long-term or a permanent reauthorization of the EB-5 program, we fully support it.
I see. So what you're saying is that things like visa set-asides are offering new investors a shortcut. These are proposed, those type of proposals I've already read that you don't support. This is the reason why you don't support those, because you don't want to be put one faction against another.
Exactly.
Right.
We do not want to support anything that basically harms existing investors in line. For example, visa set-asides, right? If you set aside 3,000 visas for new investors, that's basically hurting existing investors in line who've been waiting for years for their green card. If there's some way to reconcile that, maybe visa recapture, something like that, of course we'll fully support it. We support the EB-5 program. It's just that we basically want to stay away from the politics.
So would it be safe to say that you support the EB-5 program by solely focusing and prioritizing the EB-5 investors that have already invested in the growth of America?
The sole purpose of the American Immigrant Investor Alliance is to protect, to represent, and support existing EB-5 investors. Whatever hurts or helps existing EB-5 investors, those are the conversations we want to be in.
I have a question, because I've heard this from a couple of developers who've talked about you. Once you've got your way with the government, are you going to focus on projects or big projects or certain developers?
I love the question, Mona, once you have your way with the government, because a lot of times it feels like it's the reverse. But yes.
Yeah, let me explain that a little again. I think the worry is, because you've formed a wonderful committee and the representation that you have is there, what if a group of your investors come and say, hey, the project developers that we are with are not giving us the right interest rate, or they're not paying back our money when they're supposed to, or some kind of query of that nature, or complaint of that nature? Will you guys go out and help those, that particular group of investors?
What we will do and we want to do for our investors is to provide them with the information and resources and tools that will help them. So whether that's litigation against the government or litigation against their regional center, sure, we could totally provide information and educational resources on that information. We have had a number of securities and litigation attorneys who have offered to provide some of that information. They've offered to do a webinar with us just to explain to us things, how things work. What I really would love to do, just personally speaking, is to do a webinar on how to read a PPM.
Oh, my goodness. I can tell you, Sean. I mean, I taught EB-5 at Baruch College, and a lot of my students are immigration attorneys. They don't know how to read a PPM. So, you know, it's certainly is something you would do. But can I also ask you, you're the vice president of investor acquisitions for EB-5 United. Does that bring you into conflict with any of the roles that you have in the American Immigrant Investor Alliance?
That's a great question. And actually, I'd like to take this moment to actually thank my bosses who have been very supportive of me for starting an organization like this. I think one of the biggest reasons why our organization has been successful has been because of my experience in EB-5, both as an investor and as someone who works in the EB-5 industry. I think the reason why our organization was able to gain so much success in a short amount of time is because of the knowledge, the experience, and the relationships that I've had. I don't want to sound too full of myself, but I do want to recognize the fact that, yes, there is an inherent conflict of interest here. However, I do feel for my investors, even the ones that chose not to invest with me. I believe that all immigrant investors, all of us, we're all in this together. So if I'm able to provide information and resources to investors, even to those who chose not to invest with me, that's fine. That's great. I'm happy to help them.
And just jumping in there, Mona, I work with Ishan in a very close capacity, and I have not felt for one second that I'm seeing a conflict of interest here. Ishan has been fully devoted to the mission of the American Immigrant Investor Alliance, and we're grateful to have him on board.
That's so good to hear. You've heard Rebecca and myself discuss Jerry Nadler's reconciliation bill or reconciliation amendment. But I can tell you that the papers across the world have kind of gone crazy about it. The India Times reported that the Indian diaspora is hopeful of a favorable outcome and did a full page piece, which people just kept sending us. So what are your thoughts about it?
I personally love it. The provisions, the immigration provisions and the reconciliation are amazing. That those are the provisions we have been waiting for so long. Immigration reform has been delayed for so long. And finally, in my opinion, has a chance of passing. It was passed by the House Judiciary Committee, which is a big milestone.
That's right.
But there's like still a few ways to go. It has to go through the Senate parliamentarian process. It has to pass the so-called Byrd rule. And there's still ways to go. But if this passes, this will be the most consequential immigration legislation in at least two decades.
Yes, I agree, which brings me to the point of the advocacy that you guys have been doing. What has been the focus, other than obviously the reauthorization bill, but what has been the focus of your advocacy?
So when we have conversations with members of Congress, it's not always just about FIFA or a grandfathering bill. It's to basically change the perception and improve the perception of the EB-5 program.
Sorry, Rajiv, what is FIFA? Because our listeners don't know that.
FIFPA, or the Foreign Investor Fairness Protection Act, it's a one-page bill that we drafted with Robert Devine that basically grandfathers in all existing investors. That's the bill we are pushing for right now. When we have conversations with members of Congress, most of them don't know about the EB-5 program. And the people who do know about the EB-5 program, they think it's a cash for visa scheme.
I know.
And we think it's important to correct that image, because EB-5 program is so much more than that. It's not a cash for visa scheme. As you know, like filing I-526 is 485, so you have to prove job creation. There is tons of requirements, and it's the furthest thing from a cash for visa scheme. And I think our job is basically to correct this perception of the EB-5 program. So our advocacy work targets that.
Who introduced your bill?
So the FIFPA bill, at this point, it has not been sponsored by anyone. Our goal is to attach it to a bigger must-pass legislation and potentially the DHS appropriations legislation that will come through maybe end of this year.
Can I ask who in Congress is supporting your bill?
At this point of time, we have a bill that's drafted that will essentially protect investors from any sort of lapse in the program. We don't know what's going on with the EB-5 regional center reform efforts. While we hope that they are successful, we know that we cannot count on it. It's been a controversial issue for the last 5 years. So it's important for us to put something out there that protects investors. And what we have and what we have drafted a bill with Attorney Robert Devine that essentially protects EB-5 investors from lapses. So it's called the Foreign Investor Fairness Protection Act. We have received support from different Congress members on this, so much so that many of their staffers have told us that their boss would be willing to co-sponsor something like this. Now, what we really need is a senator or a House member to truly stick their neck out and put this bill out there. So with our advocacy work, with working with our lobbyists and our political consultancy, we hope to do just that.
Well, that's great to hear, and that you disclosed that here, because, well, we do have quite a bit of listenership on the Hill, and maybe somebody who works up on the Hill will take this opportunity to say, hey, I want to protect current EB-5 investors. I want to lead that charge. Perhaps they can jump in and help out and champion that.
We completely agree, Mark. If anyone on the Hill is listening to this, it'd be great if you can help us protect existing good faith immigrant investors who are bringing jobs and money to the U.S. at zero cost to the U.S. taxpayer.
Yeah, the Foreign Investor Fairness Protection Act will really ensure that any immigrant investor who has filed an I-526 with USCIS at a time when this program was active will be allowed to complete the immigration process. And it'll set a good precedent for future immigrant investors, that they will have the confidence in knowing that if they apply for an immigrant petition under the current rules, if and when the regional center program is reauthorized, they would be allowed to see the immigration process through till the very end.
I totally agree with you both. I think it would set an excellent precedence and certainly bring confidence to the program.
Well, that's great for our leaders on the Hill, but also for current EB5 investors, people that have a monetary stake in this program, people that, as you said earlier in this episode, are your priority. How can they work with you? How can they get your help? How can they help you support them?
We encourage all EB5 investors to check us out on our website. That's goaiia.org, goaiia.org, where they can come in, make a donation to us, sign up for advocacy work, sign up to be on our email newsletter. We send out a lot of useful information and we put out a useful blog post as well. And the most important thing is to help us out on our advocacy efforts. Like I said earlier, our work doesn't just stop at reauthorization. We want to help lower processing times. We want to help create a liaison with USCIS and us so we can help explain our issues to folks in that agency. So we invite all EB5 investors to join us on this battle.
And it definitely is a worthy battle to be a part of. And I'm glad to say that I'm on this side. Well, to make it easier for the listener, we are going to embed the link to your website in our show notes so they can find out some more information. Thank you both for joining us on today's show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.